Thank you for coming to my website. I was just surfing the internet, and I went to my YouTube clips that I have on the YouTube network and found that someone had gone into one of my sermons that I preached and attached a paragraph. Oh my goodness, I should go to it right now and read it to you. No, I'll do better than that. I'll put it up on my website later. I hope that I'm talking loud enough and you can hear me. My computer has been acting crazy. It's doing it again. And I had that volume all the way up. I'll just erase this. Yeah, it's erasing all those. Let's see what happens. See what happens. All right, maybe this was the way to do it in the first place. Oh boy, life is tedious. I found out what happened to my email. I found out that someone had hacked my email and started putting crazy things out there. All I'll say is that I know he's an evangelical and he's white. I've been to his YouTube page. That paragraph that you see is what he wrote on my YouTube page. And you know what? I don't mind him telling the world that I'm gay. I don't mind. But he misrepresented me. And I don't owe an explanation. I usually ignore people like this, but I thought that when you got to be a certain age, you know, that you live beyond that. I recently put up the Fred Price clips. Now, I'm not trying to prove a vendetta or anything, but many of you, my brothers and sisters, were taken advantage of by that man, and he was a thief. And he used God for his thievery. I would never use God for thievery. I don't know how to do that. I think that there's something lacking in a human being when he puts together a scheme to use the name and reputation of the Almighty in order to gain earthly goods. I believe that person is anathema. That's the Greek for being cursed. The man implied in the paragraph that I lure young men into my home because I have two flags, one affirming the black man and the other one that is a little LGBT flag. And he criticized that. if I weren't mature enough and old enough to know, I would really get angry. And I'd give you his name and put his... I went to one of his videos. He was talking on it, and the people that follow him are people that believe just like him. Well, God bless him. But I don't want to live in that part of the country where those people are looking like... There was a scene in the movie that I loved the most, the movie about when the black African slave, Amistad, yes, the Amistad, when that boat was taken over by a bunch of slaves, and they were caught. And in the white town, they had locked up the slaves, and they put them all in a cage in the middle of the town square. And as the star of the movie was in the cage with the other black people that was captured because they killed all the white people on the ship. And when the ship came to land, the white people, of course, saying, what are all these black men doing free on this boat coming up to shore? So they arrested them, chained them up, and they had a group of I guess these were these deep religious white people dressed in these black clothes, and they came to pray for the savages. That's what they were doing. And it was interesting the way the director and the producer of the film filmed it, because if you look at that clip closely, you see the black people looking at these white people and talking with each other in their home dialect, saying, what is wrong with these crazy people? Why are they dressed like that? Why are they mumbling? Why are they... That is a form of brainwashing people. Now, even though I was a pastor, anybody that knew you, know you, would tell you that I never liked praying in groups or large groupings. I never liked that because you're in a group with somebody don't mean that God hears that person. See, just because you're in a group with them doesn't mean that they are necessarily talking towards or working towards the same God that you are. They can't be if they wrote what this man wrote about me. Oh, brother, I know we all love the Lord. Oh, no, I don't love him like that. All right. Anyhow, other than that, I'm doing good. I am readying myself. I'm having a few friends over this weekend, and the Oasis will be open, and it'll be in the patio, and just a handful of people. And if you're hearing about it and you want to show up, then you can show up. And if my house bursts with too many people that wants to just... love, I'm going to serve some good food, spaghetti, and somebody, one of my friends called and said, John, you can't have people come by just for a couple of glasses of wine. If they're coming by at dusk, you got to prepare something. So I'm going to have a little food prepared, and I have on there, wear your mask because you're in my home. But I want to spend some time in my home with some of the people that I love the most. I used to do it when I was a part of the evangelical church. Yes, I did. I always had over here a house full of people, which I said was in my family. So I'm going to have a house full of my new family. Yeah. Don't be dismayed. Whatever be the tide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love, abide. God will take care of you. How does that chorus go again? God will take care of you. He will take care of you. God will listen to me. take care of you. And what I love about God, he said that vengeance is mine. The man misrepresented me. That's why I want to put up what he said about me so you can read it and know that if any of you brothers and sisters are anything like me, that people are going to biscade you even after you've done a great work for humanity. That's why Martin Luther King was killed. Malcolm was stricken down. When you open up the consciousness of a people, I'll never forget, you know, it's coming to pass more and more. J. Vernon McGee was speaking about me. Yeah, you have to go back in these archive series where I was spoken about that radio program when I was attending Talbot Theological Seminary, and J. Vernon McGee was coming on through the Bible 5 days a week. And he mentioned that in Los Angeles, a person that knew Dr. Levert, who used to be the head of the L.A. Bible Training Center, that this person, whoever he may be, J. Vernon didn't know he was speaking about me, said he's going to turn this whole thing right side up. And in doing so, he will be turned right side up. I know J. Vernon McGee was speaking about me because he, in his spirit, he didn't know me. But his spirit and my spirit are the same kinds of spirits. This man that biscayed me, that I discovered, trying to say that I seduce young men to get them into my house so that I could have them upon my own lust. I recall there was a singer, James Cleveland was his name, and when I was a young pastor, I used to believe that lie that I heard people say about James Cleveland. Now I understand. But I just want to talk to you, those of us in the LGBT community. The pain and the shame that they try to make us feel is ridiculous. I am presenting on my birthday at the In the Meantime Men. It will be a Zoom meeting, and I will be sharing with the people of the world, if they want to, how to live a life and never negotiate the life that you're living away. My wife needed to marry me to be here, and I needed to marry her in order to be sustained in the day that I was a young man here. God was right in the middle, working everything out. My life isn't that of trying to seduce young boys. That's what this man intended. And then I went to his website, and he was talking about how homosexuality is engulfing the world, and he used as an example for the evangelical church to fear me, and I probably preached in his church because he was a white man that said this. And then you wonder why I don't practice American so-called biblical Christianity. Because anyone that knows me knows that that would be a lie. And why would I socially gather with people like that? There's a shame about that. You know, I disagree with Fred Price, his doctrine and what he did and everything. But did I love Fred Price? Yes. Did I ever pray a curse on him? No, I believe he did on me. A lot of those Word Faith pastors has prayed curses on me. I won't name them. Some of them still operate here in Los Angeles and probably is still coming to my website, listening to me, praying that I won't say their names. I'm not going to say it, brothers, because I've always loved you. Love you cats, man. But you lying. Once you lie on God, you become my enemy. He even accused me of no longer, man, this man accused me of no longer loving Jesus. Oh, my goodness. That's what really got my dander up a little bit. Jeez. I can't look at any of my YouTube video clips without being convicted by the Spirit of God. I can't. And when I ask God, why does he still have me living? Know what he tells me? So you can do what you're doing right now, boy. Keep your damn mouth shut and talk to these people. You don't have to go to no church. Go if that strokes your ego. But why are you talking about me? Because I won't. And wait a minute. Why are you talking about me? Because I've reached a level of spirituality. I don't want to go any higher with God. I hear these fake preachers talking about, you want to go higher, higher, higher with me. Watch it. Sounds like Jim Jones. Jim Jonesism. Jonestown. That's one thing I used to all... Ways warned the evangelicals about it. I said, be careful when these charismatics come around you and they start saying things that sounds like Bullwinkle said it. See, because I am a man that has the mind of an apologist. An apologist is one that defends a position until the death. Now, I've had to change a couple of positions that I've had, and one was a position that is, on marriage. I believe that if you love anybody, a man loves a man, or a woman loves a woman, okay, grown human being can think and rationalize, not children, but adults, all right, they should have the right to love each other and marry. That's a position that I've changed. These people that come for me will never change, regardless of what the substance shows them. So God has me around because he loves these people, and he knows these people are listening to what I'm saying right now, damn it, and they know I'm telling the truth. I have never huck-suckled God, nor huck-suckled him for his people. God knows who I am, and God has a way of fulfilling what his child needs in God's timing. Oh. I couldn't stand. And then you would expect people, listen to me, you would expect people that are church people that love God, they want above everything totally expressive truth. Right up front, they want truth right down the board. They don't want you to mix it in with anything. They don't want you to try to cover it up. They want maximized truth, right? That's what you expect the church to want, right? No, they don't want that. They only want people that thinks with their limited mind. I keep scratching my beard. Man, that means, yeah, my nerves are up. I'm in the studio here. What time is it? 9:05 on a Wednesday night. And I'm having some folk over. Oh, you know, I got some things I have to do. I'm going to order food, have spaghetti and meatballs, Italian bread. No, I'm not going to cook it. I'm gonna have it, you know, have it delivered. You don't have to leave your house now, man. I'm getting used to that. I don't have a car, and this is the first week that I'm home without a car. I've only used a lift one time. That's all. And it's good. It's good to tone down when you're an older person. You know, I hear some older person say, "Oh, child, I can't drive." I can drive. I got a license. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do from time to time, Jehovah willing, or that's another thing that man said about me. He says that I changed the name of Jehovah into some kind. I was just mentioning the African form of coming to God. But because I didn't use that European colonialized thing that they teach you, I'm an abomination now. Isn't that crazy? And you would think that if a person really and truly bona fidely loved God, that they would never speak of God's people in such a way. Because that is just the wrongest thing to say. But let me get off that. Get off that. That's what I'm looking at today. And tomorrow, hopefully I get up. And tomorrow's Thursday. Hopefully I get up, Lord willing. I get up and take care of putting the rest of this thing together. And you know who you are. You're my friend. You're invited by if you'd like to come. And what I usually do is to remember the old man is here. And you can come here. Wear your mask. When you go out into the patio room with all the open air, fresh air blowing through in the curtains, you don't need a mask on. Set on out there. Set the distance. Gonna have a little music, good food. Just a time. Just getting together with people. With people. If I'm alive to do that, I hope to take some pictures and show you the pictures of me and my friends. And I'm just looking forward to have a wonderful time on this coming Friday. Yes. And I'm not even 78 yet. I see a lot of people my age. What are they doing? Looking at I Love Lucy or I Married Joan or Gunsmoke, The Twilight Zone. I've seen all the series. I'm bored watching them the fourth time. I want to live where I am and live how I am and live who, hey, check this out, and live who I am. I found a nice little clip. I put it up. It's on my website now. I'm going to leave it up there. It was a clip when I was preaching a sermon to the women about how they should love their husband. And I went to that verse of scripture on that clip when it talks about the role of the wife, part 5, and I had to get into the role to be sexually responsive to your man. That is what I preached. And I saw that clip today and I said, oh, I gotta put that up for everybody to see, and so that they would know what kind of a preacher I was. Because see, My new friends in the LGBT community, when they hear that I was a pastor in the church when the time when a lot of gays were being persecuted in our community, I never persecuted the gays because I couldn't see persecuting me. And I keep looking at my video clips because I'm trying to see me swish. I don't swish once like a woman. You know, they used to call the homosexuals sissies. And I used to tell people, I ain't no sissy. What's that? You know, you look at the pictures of me that I put on my website. Do you see a sissy? Do you see a man? Now, see, that could be a derogatory term because in the LGBT community, you have the trannies or the trans people. And you can't call that boy a sissy when he wants to be a girl, because in his mind and in his psyche, he is a woman, and they will die believing that. Now, they can believe that all they want. I have tremendous difficulty with that because I know that I'm a man, and I ain't got nothing against anybody that thinks that they're a woman. They can come around me being that way. It's not going to bother me because I'm going to look and say, it's a human being. It's one of God's creatures. I don't care what they believe. I want to treat them with respect and dignity. I'm sure none of us wants to be in the bedroom of somebody else's parent while they were creating their third child. Nobody wants to be in a room to see that that's a private act between two human beings with two bodies, two minds, two hearts, two dreams, two functioning humanoids throughout the eons of history on this planet, enjoying, loving, if you will, one another. And because I do that more to men than to women, there's something wrong with me. No. They have many a women that give women that too because their men don't know how to give it to them. That is what the church was for. The church was there to show them how to be that with each other. And when you look at that clip that I just told you about, you will see how God used Solomon to pen those words. And that's what's so beautiful. When you really look at what church used to be for, that's the way I'd like to put it. When I preached in church, that is the way, to me, church is to be. Because what I did is I took a text and I opened it up. Now, let me play the homiletic teacher, and I want you to watch that clip again. I'm going to leave it up a little bit, but I want you to watch that clip on the role of women, and I want you to recognize how I seem to be leaving the pulpit area and walking right in front of that married man and that married woman in the congregation. Because as you look at that short 10-minute piece, you hear people engaging, talking back with me, laughing, agreeing, ooing through. Now, none of my sermons, listen, that was only a 10-minute clip. None of the sermons that I preached in that ministry and in any ministry that I've ever been in was less than 90 minutes. None of them. And each time I preached any text in the scripture, that took place. That's why I wore the robe, because of my shenanigans. And a pastor friend of mine told me that the wearing of the robe or the clerical garment for the black preacher, in the sense of that, means that people are to look away from what John has on, what kind of ring he has, or what kind of suit he wears or shoes he has on. No, because a robe honors God and covers the man. The people are not supposed to see the man. They're supposed to see God or hear God through the man, but not to look at the man. What have people put their trust in our community? They're looking at the man, how he dresses, how he moves, how he talks. All right, this is a smooth way for you to be deceived by the man, because God says, when you seek me, I'll never forsake you. I seek God on my own. I train people how to seek God on their own. I have a friend of mine, a very good friend also, in the gay community. Because he teaches that. And when I first got to know him, I told him, I said, you know what? I'm not I'm not like that. I can't think that way. The way my life has guided me and the choices that I made, I don't have to create a new reality in order to be justified to live. I was talking to a pastor over the internet the other day, and I said, no, I don't need to create new grounds. No. I said, maybe that's for young people that haven't created anything. And that's what I would do. I would tenure, and I'm also a teacher of homiletics, meaning that I know how to teach good teaching techniques. But if I were a young pastor coming up, I would identify what is the guiding force that I follow. Well, of course, the answer is the Bible, the book. So therefore, since the Bible is a guiding force, if you come up in the Western Hemisphere and want to believe in the one monotheistic God, the Bible is the only book you can go to, or the Quran. The man even accused me of being a Muslim because I affirmed some of the things in the Quran. I can't believe you accused me of that. Do not I have a right to analyze every... Listen, Antoine LaVey was the father of the Church of Satan, right? Yeah, I have one of his books in my library. I taught a part of what he taught in the philosophy of religion in junior college. It was a part of the curriculum. But the evangelical, for some reason, wants to remain with his head in a hole. Wake up. There's nothing wrong with you loving yourself. That is the chief tenet of the Church of Satan, is that you should love yourself. I'm going to tell you, if you don't love yourself, you are not going to try to keep yourself alive and happy. No, you're not. You're just waiting to die. And guess what? If you don't keep active, keep your mind active and your body active and your ego active and your sex part of you active, very active. If you don't keep that active, you're going to die sooner. Now, why do I want to stay alive? Not because I'm a whore. It's because I enjoy being alive. And I hope that you do too. You see, but when you're in the evangelical church, you can't say it that way because what you're doing, oh, and now how much retirement do you have laid up? What's that? I don't have that. I don't have nothing laid up. God didn't tell me to leave $1 million for both of my daughters and stuff. I don't have anything laid up for anybody. When I die, I'm going to lie down and that's it. Now, what I expect the people around me to do, and it looks like they pretty well did it, is align themselves to a way that will promise them success and then to walk in that way and success will follow them. And it has. I merely try to teach that now to young black men because it appears that they are the endangered species in the northern hemisphere of these Americas. I love black men. I'm not ashamed to say it. I understand Malcolm X. I understand him. Man. I talk too much. Thank you for coming to my website. I'm all right. I am. I'm just a little setback that somebody would, man, go and then put out scandalous emails trying to get people to send me money to make it look like I am what they claimed that I was. Isn't that a shame? Wow. Well, all right. I'm going to let you go. Y'all take care, and I'll talk to you real soon. Jah is willing. And remember now, Don't let what anybody else says mess with you ever. All right, I'm going to give you the 5 keys. If I live. You know my throat always gets like that if I don't put any water here. I want to share with you the 5 keys. If you exercise these things, you'll never get caught in a trap of somebody else's making. Now, if you don't ever want to get caught by anybody in anything, you have to know what gives you life and happiness. See, if you don't know what gives you life and happiness, you're going to listen to everybody tell you every kind of BS line he got coming down the pike. That gives him or her life or happiness. Doesn't mean that it gives it to you. I'll get into that more on my birthday. Secondly, do you know what life really is? You see, because you ain't going to have no life and happiness unless you know what life is. Now, if you don't know what life is, you're going to start listening to people telling you what life is. And if what they're telling you what life is has you ending up feeling bad, no, you don't know it yet. You don't know what it is. And then this third law, there's only five. I know what it is to me not to have life. You see, I've been experiencing life so long that if not having life would come my way in a certain way, I would know immediately and stay on the safe side of the street. But when you don't have years under your belt, get it? Takes time. Takes time, and you got to work on living the right kind of life to stay alive and to stay strong so you can accept that God meant for you to have in the first place. Man, this is wonderful. All right, something else that I know about me. Okay. I know the danger of experiencing without producing life. Yeah. I know the danger of experience, even if that experience produces life. Every experience that I have, it may appear to be right. Everybody tell you it's right. Listen to this law. I know the danger of experience. See, if you experience something, it doesn't necessarily mean what you are experiencing is true or is the color that you see or is the hue of fabric that you're feeling. And then the fifth one, I refuse to allow slumber in my life while it's the day. See, when I'm alive, have you ever found yourself saying, man, it's going to be great to talk about this on my birthday. Have you ever found yourself to say, oh, I just think I don't know. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to bed. It ain't nothing to it. And it isn't that you've given up, but you're slumbering. You're slumbering. You could be doing something productive. Now, what I thought when I was an evangelical pastor doing something, guess what I found? Found it on one of my hard drives here. I found my original, listen to this, people. You don't know how happy I am. The original PowerPoint lesson on the study of Hebrews, I found quite a few books with some paintings and pictures and even ancient pictures of nomadic tribes and of the temple and all of that. And I have all that on PowerPoint. And I'd just like to show it when they have four or five of the brothers come by and sit in the Oasis movie room and watch that. Oh, got a lot of dreams, a lot of dreams. Thank you for coming to my website. I know I talk too much. You talk too much, John Coleman. You worry me to death. You talk too much. You just worry my pet. You just talk too much. Next time.